Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
So, Katie Taylor will seek to add a third lightweight title to her collection when she takes on WBO title holder Rose Valente in 8 days' time in Philadelphia. And it is a real treat to have Katie on the line this evening. Evening, Katie.
Hey, how's it going? How are you?
Very well. Where in the world are you?
I'm in Connecticut at the moment, actually, just in the middle of training camp, just winding down for next week.
So what are you doing 8 days out from a fight? What's your routine at the moment in terms of preparation?
Well, my last spar was actually yesterday, so just from today on, I'm just kind of keeping sharp over the next week and just watching away for and just staying focused, I guess.
How different is your preparation now compared to when you're in the amateur game? Because obviously it's essentially almost a different sport in terms of when you're an amateur, you were trying to peak two or three times a year for long events where you might have four fights in the space of 10 days, but short fights. This is a very different scene, and not even getting into the technicalities of the power and the lack of headgear. Is it a totally different experience the weeks leading up to a fight?
It is, actually. I actually didn't realise how different the two sports were until I actually turned pro and I was sharing the ring with some top pros over here. But it is very, very different. The training is completely different. I'm working on completely different teams in the gym. And
what sort of stuff?
It's just about racking up the rounds and sparring as well. And my coach is very old school as well. It's a lot of hard work over here, but I'm loving the journey so far. And I feel like I'm boxing better than ever, and that's everything to me.
Yeah. When you're talking about the differences, what sort of things are you doing differently? What are the main things that you'd kind of pick
just
out?
Just like you said, actually, just even the power side of things, it's about sitting down and your punches a lot more. And I think as an amateur, I'm obviously on my toes a lot more for three or four rounds, but you just can't do that in the pro game. It's not effective at all. You have to sit down and your punches a lot more. It is all about strength and power shots. And my style, I think, has completely changed since younger days as well. But that needed to happen because, this is a completely different sport.
And there's, I guess, also an obvious expectation to entertain in the pro game and to be more aggressive. Is that something you sat down with your trainer about, that, listen, I want to be to the forefront of women's boxing, I want people to come to enjoy it, to watch, to be entertained, turn me into that fighter? Or did you feel you were almost there already?
I think when I'm at my best, I was always kind of an entertaining fighter anyway. I was always fairly aggressive anyway, but there definitely is that side of things as well in the program. You do want to entertain, and you do have to show a bit of attitude in the ring sometimes as well. That's all part and parcel of the pro game. And just even from sharing the ring with some top pros over here, I really have learned so much about that side of things as well. And it is a big change for me. But as I said, I am enjoying every moment. I feel like I'm getting better and better in each fight, and I am settling into the pro game a lot better.
Yeah, and Katie, I know the thing about pro boxing is also you're very reliant on your dance partner as well, so you can only shine if the person in there is willing. It takes two to tango, basically. So I know Cindy Serrano, she didn't really play a ball, but in your last fight against Eva Wahlström, you were really able to showcase your abilities, and it was probably your standout performance as a pro, I would say.
Yeah, I think so. And that's against a top fighter herself and Eva Wahlström. I think that the better the opponent, the better I will perform. And like I said, with Cindy Serrano, she was just so negative, and anyone can survive for those 10 rounds. And it is hard to get them out when they are like that. It's hard to open people up when they're so negative like that. So it was a frustrating fight for me. But as I said, when they do actually come and fight, my performance does get better as well, and I can entertain a lot more.
When you come out of a fight like that doesn't go the way you want in terms of entertainment, that you just have to grind it out and you just have to get the victory, are you satisfied? You've got the job done, you've got the victory, ultimately that's all that matters. But because it always feels this extra pressure on you to entertain and to be this pioneer for women's boxing. Do you come out slightly frustrated that you're not allowed to have that entertaining fight? Or, again, do you just come to accept it, that your reputation now precedes you, and maybe it'd be a little bit naive of someone like Cindy Serrano to get into that sort of scrap?
Yeah, I mean, I showed up to fight. I did my job, so there's nothing I can do if she doesn't show up, I guess. And I thought it was a very good performance anyway, regardless of how she performed. I mean, I did my job, as I said. I went in and did exactly what I was asked to do, but it can be frustrating at times, but there's nothing I could have done, as I said, with how Cindy came out and just survived for those 10 rounds.
Yeah, and in the Wahlstrom fight, Katie, another huge platform on the Canelo undercard, and there's talk of major cards this year as well. Is that becoming par for the course for you still, or are you still getting those pre-fight jitters?
Yeah, I think I'll always have those pre-fight jitters. I think the time I don't get nerves before a fight is the time that I actually get worried. I always get nerves, and that's perfectly normal, really. This means an awful lot to me. I'm sacrificing a lot over here. Every single day I'm putting the work in. So, on fight day, on fight night, I do want to perform, and I want to be the best. So it does mean an awful lot to me. And I do feel like I'm on course to be the best ever.
How much work are you doing at the moment on the mental side of the fight game, and just for yourself, as you say, to make sure you're never overcome by the nerves? I can't imagine that's going to happen. But been away from home, been on the other side of the world a lot of the time. Have you found a sort of second family there that you can go in with and that can give you the sort of mental resolve that you need?
Yeah, I think it's a lot easier even just to keep in touch with family over here. Anyway, I'm in touch with my family every single day while I am over here. But I also have great people around here as well. So I would have been absolutely lost without over the last couple of years. But yeah, I guess the mental side of things just comes from my preparation as well. I believe a lot of myself. Obviously, I'm putting the work in over here. I don't need any stone unturned to step into the ring. And I have a lot of trust in my coach as well, which is so important for me. So that to me is all I need. That's where my confidence comes from. And that's really all I do with it, the mental side of things, I guess.
It feels as though things have changed over the last couple of months in terms of how the future is looking for you. Around the time of the Cindy Serrano fight and frustrations in the ring, but it also felt at that stage that maybe a lot of your potential opponents, the really eye-catching ones, were running away from you, and that even if the money was on the table, the fights weren't going to happen. Whereas now we see next week you're going to get the opportunity to win a third belt against Rose Valente. Yeah. There's a lot of speculation that when Anthony Joshua goes to Madison Square Garden that we might have a fight against Delphine Persoon for the undisputed lightweight title. Yeah. Again, talk that maybe Amanda Serrano's back on the table. Is that your sense as well, that these fights are now going to happen?
Yeah, definitely. I think it can be frustrating in the program. Obviously, a lot of times you are waiting for these opponents to actually step up. And just with the business side of things as well, sometimes you are waiting for more money or whatnot. But I just want to go in and fight the best. And thankfully, I do have this opportunity to fight for the WBO belt, the unified division again, and this year could possibly be the biggest year of my career. It could be a monumental year if everything goes to plan with Rose Valente and then Delphine Persoon, and then hopefully a huge mega fight with Amanda Serrano. But obviously those fights can't happen if I don't come through with Rose Valente next week. That's the only girl I'm really focusing on right now, but it could be an absolutely huge year for me.
How involved are you on the business side of things? I'm sure you'd love to just spend all your time in the gym and in the ring, but it is a pro game and you want to make sure you're well looked after and you're getting your fair share and you're getting the most out of your career. Have you had to take more of an interest in the business side of things than you might have expected before you turned pro?
I think I'm learning kind of as I go along. Thankfully, I have a great team of people around me, and Brian, my manager, kind of looks after that side of things for me, and I feel like I'm getting, I'm making more money than I thought I could be really at this stage of my career in the program, which is absolutely great for me. That it's never been about the money for me, but it's obviously great when you are seeing those the money with big fights as well. And so I think I am definitely learning along the way, and I understand the business side of things a lot more than I did when I first turned pro, but as I said, I just kind of leave that stuff up to Brian, and I pretty much am just focusing on the train while I am out here.
Yeah, and Katie, I know the climate in Dublin at the moment means it's difficult to stage a major fight in these parts, but you have established a huge following in Britain, and now obviously this is going to be your fifth fight in the States. Is it good to have that sort of home from home to know you're a big draw in America, and obviously DAZN and Sky Sports are right behind you as well?
Yeah, it is fantastic. I think the support while I have been out here in America has been absolutely fantastic. Every time I have fought out here, obviously the ultimate dream would the fight is fight at home in Ireland someday, but it doesn't look likely for the time being. But thankfully, I am getting a chance to box on these huge cards, huge undercards, and even the potential that Amanda Serrano fight could be a headline fight as well. So I am getting great opportunities, which is absolutely amazing for me.
Yeah, and I know we can talk in terms of these grand plans and future opponents, but you have a big test in front of you next weekend. Much like Eva Wahlström, Volante's undefeated, a champion in her own right. Have you watched much tape on her? What kind of fight are you expecting this to be?
Yeah, she's a very good fighter. She's a very proud champion. She's very, very strong, a big right hand. She's a dangerous fighter, so she's definitely coming to win next week. She wants to hold on to her own belt and the other fight the division as well, so there's no easy fights at this stage in my career. Every fight's going to be tough. I think it could possibly be a very physical fight. Obviously, I'll try to make the fight as easy as I can, but in a 10-round fight, there are times where I am going to get close as well and mix it up a small bit. But yeah, I think it will be an entertaining fight and a fight that the fans will definitely enjoy.
An awful lot of people love getting to know you a little bit better in Ross Whittaker's documentary. Have you managed to watch it yet? Have you put yourself through it?
I haven't actually, no. I don't think I've ever watched it.
Why?
But I actually don't like watching myself on TV, to be honest. I hate, hearing the sound of my own voice and stuff like that. But and I hear it's quite emotional as well. So, I know what happened in my own life. I don't think I need to watch it on TV.
That is a very fair point, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure you're aware that tomorrow's International Women's Day, Katie, and I just wanted to have a quick chat to you about that.
I wasn't aware of that, actually.
Well, we're going to have a lot of special programming here on Off the Ball for tomorrow, but yeah. I just wanted to ask you about that side of things and your position in Irish life as a role model, and these surveys are done, I'm sure you see them all the time, where you're the most admired Irish athlete, you're this hero to young girls, not even to just young girls, to young people in general. How aware are you of that, and do you feel a responsibility with that? Because often sports people don't want to be put up as role models. Do you want to be a role model?
It's obviously a very positive thing. I would love to be a role model for some people and set a good example. And I think it's a great privilege, really, to be in this position. And to have an impact on people is absolutely very, very special. I mean, I've always wanted to leave a great legacy in this sport and just in life in general, to be a great example to people. I think there's so many bad role models out there at the moment. They're the ones that are usually on the front of the magazines or whatever, but it is great to be a positive role model and to set a good example for those young people. So I hope I never let them down.
Yeah, and you mentioned your legacy within boxing, and Irish boxing in particular. Like, I was at the National Elite Finals, and the standard of women's boxing has improved leaps and bounds, and it's without exception, all the fighters will name check you as an inspiration and the reason they got into the sport. You must take a tremendous amount of pride in that you've sort of spawned this new generation of Irish talent effectively.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's probably one of the most satisfying parts about this January is seeing so many women boxing now and seeing the standard of boxing in Ireland going up so much over the last few years and seeing the success of some of the girls as well is absolutely phenomenal. So that's what it's all about, really. That is a great legacy to leave behind, and that has been one of the most satisfying parts about it.
Yeah, I guess in a way you're sort of fighting for two separate legacies. There's one that's already secure that Ronan touched on of inspiring the next generation and being this role model, and I don't think that will ever be forgotten no matter what happens in the ring. But I guess at the moment the full focus is on leaving that second legacy in the ring and unifying those titles, and that in 20 years' time when people talk about not just a game changer but quite simply the best female boxer of all time, that they're talking about you.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, that's always been a dream of mine. When I turned pro a few years ago, I wanted to become the undisputed champion. I wanted to be number one on the pound-for-pound list. And as I said, in years to come, I want people to mention my name. It will be an honour to be a Hall of Fame in the future as well. So there's a lot to be fighting for. I have big dreams and big visions. And as I said, I'm in a great position. I have a chance to box in these big shows. I'm making great money at the moment as well, and I have a great team of people, and I feel like I am going from strength to strength. So it's a great position that I'm in at the moment.
Yeah, I saw quotes recently that you said you might still be fighting at 40.
Yeah, another 8 years. I said that to I don't know where they got that from. I mean, if I could, I definitely would, but we'll see. We'll take it year by year.
Yeah,
I guess.
Have you thought? Yeah. Do you stop to consider what would be next, that when you eventually do retire?
To be honest, I have no idea what I do if I retire now, to be honest. I guess I hope that's until another few years anyway. But yeah, I haven't got a clue what I would do right now. But at the moment, I feel like I have 20 years left of me. I'm a very young 32-year-old. I hate actually mentioning my age sometimes. It's terrible. I'm actually 32 years of age, but I feel a very young 32 years of age, and I feel like I have 20 of years left in me.
Yeah, it's a good way to be. Avoid getting a real job for as long as possible, Katie.
Yeah, exactly.
Katie, brilliant as always. Thanks a lot for joining us, and very best of luck next week. Hopefully we get a chance to check in with you after it.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
bye.
Katie.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.